From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in the third chapter of Lamentations and verse 58. O Lord, Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Observe how positively the prophet speaks. He does not say, I hope, I trust, I sometimes think that God has pleaded the causes of my soul. But he speaks of it as a matter of fact, not to be disputed. Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Let us, by the aid of the gracious Comforter, shake off those doubts and fears which so much mar our peace and comfort. Be this our prayer, that we may have done with the harsh, croaking voice of surmise and suspicion, and may be able to speak with a clear, melodious voice of full assurance. Notice how gratefully the prophet speaks, ascribing all the glory to God alone. You perceive there is not a word concerning himself or his own pleadings. He does not ascribe his deliverance in any measure to any man, much less to his own merit. But it is Thou, O Lord, Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul. Thou hast redeemed my life. A grateful spirit should ever be cultivated by the Christian, and especially after deliverances, we should prepare a song for our God. Earth should be a temple filled with the songs of grateful saints, and every day should be a censer smoking with the sweet incense of thanksgiving. How joyful Jeremiah seems to be while he records the Lord's mercy. How triumphantly he lifts up the strain! He has been in the low dungeon, and is even now no other than the weeping prophet. And yet, in the very book which is called Lamentations, clear as the song of Miriam when she dashed her fingers against the tabor, shrill as the note of Deborah when she met Barak with shouts of victory, we hear the voice of Jeremiah going up to heaven, Thou hast pleaded the causes of my soul, Thou hast redeemed my life. O children of God, seek after a vital experience of the Lord's loving kindness, and when you have it, speak positively of it, sing gratefully, shout triumphantly.
Thank you.
If you've been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. As he continues to deal with each of the Ten Commandments, Dr. Cairns is bringing a second message on the fifth commandment, Honor thy father and thy mother. The focus here is on the duties of children. Parents should seek to train their children to be responsible adults. In return, grown children need to honor their parents throughout their lives. As their parents become aged, their children should provide whatever material or physical help may be needed. But more than that, they should demonstrate their love for those who gave them life. Now, to continue this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
When the Bible says honor, it says honor thy father and thy mother. In another place, it puts the mother before the father. There is an equality here of honor. Honor thy father and thy mother. And if children should honor both father and mother, then obviously father and mother should never put those children in a place where in order to honor one, they must despise the other. They must act together. Now it would be wonderful to say that wise parents will never have to endure rebellious children. Unhappily, we can't say that. Sometimes their very wisdom arouses in those children anger and rebellion. But they must remain faithful to their calling. And every child and every young person should respect such parents. Let me speak to those young people here tonight. Your parents are not perfect. But God has given you parents who have sought to instruct you in the things of God, provide you with a home that is a godly home, a Christ-centered home, a Bible-based home. They have sought to provide for you not only physically, but mentally, morally, and spiritually. They've had to discipline you. Sometimes that's not something that you like. God says you have parents to respect, to honor, to obey, to submit to. You should do that, even in the most challenging situations. Let me be very practical here. Parents set the rules of the house. They set the rules. The times you may go out, for how long, the time you come in is set by your parents, not by you. And when they set it, you obey it. The company you keep, the places you go, the public testimony you establish by those actions, they are certainly rightly under the control of your parents. You obey it. That's the Bible. Even when you get a little older, one of the most controversial things will come when it comes to the what the Americans call dating. Of course, you realize that dating is going out of date now. There's something different. I heard of a man who has gone into a seminar movement that believes in courtship. And I have to smile when I say that because in Northern Ireland, that has a totally different connotation than it has here in America. And if you were to tell young people over there, we parents, we believe in courtship, the young people would be all hip, hip, hooraying because they would think it was something much looser than what you have now. But by courtship, they mean that, well, let me give you an example. One young man went to a father, said that he was interested in dating his daughter, doesn't believe in dating, we believe in courtship, and you're going to go to Tennessee, and you're going to take a two-week course and they're on courtship, and then you'll come back and we'll reevaluate the situation, and this is all before he can see her for the first time, and then, according to this theory, you get to know the father, he plays golf, you go out and play golf with the father, you play chess with him, make sure he always wins. All that sort of thing. You get along well with the father. You pay court more to the parents than to the daughter. That's the theory. Of course, most of those young women are still single. Reminds me of a song we used to have in school, I Married Maggie. And her mommy, and her daddy, and her brother, and her sister, and her uncle, and the whole lot. I married Maggie and the family and all. Well, there's a lot of truth in that. But this is a touchy area. Let me give you some very clear instruction. You're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. I've grown up. Well, you think you are. You think you are. But say you are 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old. Your parents have invested all those years of themselves in you. And you want me to believe that when it comes to one of the most critical decisions of your life, they have no legitimate input? Think again. Think again. Where they can show you from the Word of God that such a relationship as you are entering upon is plain wrong, then you must obey them implicitly, immediately, and entirely. Where they forbid it because they consider it harmful to you, especially spiritually, and you disagree, you must accept that ruling until such times as they for good reason change their mind, or you are old enough and self-sufficient enough to make an independent and wise decision. Wise parents will always be willing to pray through these problems with young people. It shouldn't be just a matter of butting heads and I'm on this side of the fence and you're on that side of the fence. This should be a matter of getting before God with His Word and praying through these things. But remember what a parent will be doing in all these situations. It will be giving a young person time, making him take time to consider maturely a decision that otherwise he or she may run into. Because as I have told people many, many times, when they come, in my job I get to deal with young people when they want to be married. And almost everybody who wants to be married yesterday or last week. It's that important. It's that necessary. This is something that is so glorious, it must be done right away. Or as soon as possible. And I have to be honest, at times I'm scared, especially in a society such as we have here, where people are thrown together from very many different states and from many very different backgrounds and cultures and family situations. And there's a limited period of time where they know each other merely on the surface. And suddenly, marriage bells are ringing in their ears. I get very scared for that. Because I have found that young people tend to change their mind. It's the nature of youth. They change their mind. And once that wedding band is on, no matter how easy the state makes it to break up a marriage, it is the most horrible thing. It is a disastrous thing. It is a thing that causes scars that do not go away. So therefore, parents wisely are ensuring young people are standing back, taking time, reconsidering, and then they are, as they evaluate the whole situation, they are forced to look at the thing maturely. They are forced to take an adult's view and not a child's view. Furthermore, they're learning a very good lesson for life. Stand them instead throughout their married life. That you don't always get what you want, when you want it, how you want it, and just because you want it. Good idea. They'll give you time to make a mature decision. And like Christ, those young people will subject themselves to their parents because it's consonant with the law of God. Now, obedience doesn't come naturally to any of us. look at a young child and say he doesn't need to be taught to rebel. It comes absolutely naturally to him. You look at some teenagers, they think that they have outgrown parental control and they have made many a home a battlefield. The society in which we live actually caters to this. Much of public education seems to be directed at fostering this. I've heard both here and back in Britain of classes that are set up on a Monday morning where children will go in and they'll be required to report everything that has gone on in their home, in their family, all their activities, all their conversations. They'll be required to write about this, to discuss it, to take their parents and their decisions and hold them up for analysis before an ungodly teacher in an ungodly class. And the whole thing is part of a social engineering program to remake the family and to destroy the subjection of children to their parents. And those children, they grow to be teenagers, will often become sullen and stubborn and arrogant. Now let me stop there with those three descriptions. Let me ask you, if you are a teenager tonight, do they describe you? Sullen, stubborn, and arrogant. Kicking over the traces of parental responsibility and control. Remember the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. You'll be able to go your own way soon enough. And believe me, when you've gone a few miles along that road, you'll wish you had reached it by a different way. You'll get there soon enough. If Christ submitted, how much more should you? Of course, subjection's not the only duty in honoring. Something that many people overlook is that when children reach a wage-earning age, they should contribute to the family budget. That's included in this commandment. How do I know? Because the Savior said it. In Matthew 15, verses 4 and 5, he spoke to the Pharisees of his day, and he upbraided them, saying, God commanded, saying, honor thy father and thy mother, and he that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. What he was saying there was, you're taking the money you should give into the family budget, and you're giving it into the temple or the synagogue. And you're saying to your parents, I don't have that money to give, I've given it to the church. It's a gift to God. Of course, they gave the money that they should have given to their parents, not the money that they had for themselves. And the Lord Jesus upbraided them for it. And he's saying, the commandment is, honor your father and your mother. And part of that is that when you get to a wage-earning position, then it is your responsibility to become part of that wealth-creating process in the family. It is your responsibility to pay your way. That's honoring your father and your mother. I think sometimes that parents overlook this, and children do too. I think that it is a wise thing, as soon as children begin to earn money, that they learn to do two things, three things. They learn to tithe, they learn to contribute to the home, and they learn to save. That may seem harsh, but look at all I have left. Hey, we're training you for life. And believe me, when you get married, there's going to be many a time when you look and say, but look all that I have left. And you'll learn the truth of the old saying that every month there's more month than money. We're training you for life. I think that's a wise precaution for parents to take. But there's another way of contributing. Parents get old. They need support. And the Bible says their children should give it. I know we live in the day of the welfare state, and the state provides many things. And I'm not against there being some safety net for those who need it. But I tell you, it can't take away the responsibility of children to their parents.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.